Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. During the show, you can join the conversation by calling 646-727-3206 or join the Transformation Cafe live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio.
Baby. They're still good.
Transformation
they're still
Cafe,
good.
A fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Okay, good evening, good day, wherever you're joining us. We want to thank you for just coming in, and how much we appreciate you guys coming in. Checking us out after on demand and how you're doing it. Hi, I'm Robin Misevich, one of the regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe. We've got a couple of our regulars good and ready to come up and just scoot up to the table here. So we have Mr. Jamie in here tonight. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie is doing pretty good. It's Mr. Jamie calling from the heart of the great Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington.
Cool. And how is it in Seattle tonight?
It's a little nippy, a little chilly, you know. It is October.
Well, fall is here. Yeah, thank goodness. That's exciting. That's exciting. Cool. And we have Miss Marvine Lindbergh. She is coming back to give us her words of wisdom, and they're always just so enlightening. So there you go. Miss Marvine, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I am great, and I'm so grateful for you to be here. I just love it when you're able to come on in and just kind of do some conversation here tonight. So I always love it when Marvine is on because she really wants us to come from just a very spontaneous place. And I read something this morning because one of the books I like to read, I've had this book, longer than I care to say. I think it's at least 10 years. It's called The Book of Awakening by Mark Nepo. And it's a daily devotional that is just really wonderful in the way that he's a poet and also a philosopher. So a lot of the stuff that he shares is always very very poignant and really puts you in a good place for the day. So it's something that I've been reading for quite a while. He had a story about Miriam Elks. She was a survivor of the Holocaust, and she was sharing with her son years later about two objects that sustained her while she was in the concentration camps. She said one was a piece of bread that she always hid about her person, and the other was a broken piece of comb. And she said she kept the bread in case someone needed it more than she did, reminding herself of just a sense of just basic needs being met. And the other one, she said, no matter what, in the morning and in the evening, she would take the comb and she would comb her hair to affirm her person. So what came from that message was that when she carried it, what she carried and why she carried them spoke of the wisdom of love itself and moves us to ask, what should those small things that I carry and then I can give to another person, hold on a second, there we go, hold on to another person, moves us to ask, what small things do I do that I can give to another person that's in need more than myself, and what constant gesture can I do which carries the affirmation and the affirming of me as a person as well? And I really love that, for just looking at that a level of just those simple things that really make a difference. And I really wanted to just kind of put that out there for our diners tonight and see kind of what can kind of come from that conversation, because it's those living symbols that really can help us to be alive. And it doesn't have to be anything that's complex or, more than just really what appears in just the level of, you know, how does those simple things serve us and how can it serve another person? So what do you think about that, Ms. Marvine?
Well, I think what's interesting is the two examples that you gave were from a person, and let's look at first the seeming negative or downside of her experience where she was. Mm-hmm. And yet she still held on to the part of her that believes that was able to think about something besides herself, mm-hmm. and something she could do in some small way to show someone else they were cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't doing it for the reward. She wasn't doing it for anything other than something inside of her urged her kind of to do that, or she followed some kind of sense of something from inside of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that's really important for all of us is to be able, and especially today, because you know our world is so busy and it's so full of information and it's so full of so many different types of things, and yet a lot of times even in the worst conditions we can find some kind of little kindness to reach out to offer somebody else, even if it's just a smile. How are you today? Or holding the door for somebody. Or if somebody, mm-hmm. you know, any of those types of things. But we've gotten so busy that we don't have time often anymore. And I had a conversation with a client about something like that this morning. And we get bogged down with so many things because our minds are going so fast most of the time that we don't even have time to take to notice and appreciate a flower or an animal or someone who is younger or someone who is more mature, and to realize that this whole process is a process we all go through and we're all part of each other. Mm-hmm. And in that lady's inside of herself, she didn't lose track of that regardless of how bad things were where she was. That's big. That's really
big.
Yeah,
it's very, very big. You know, I just love the whole idea that, you know, no matter what the severity of someone's circumstances, there's always that opportunity to be able to be, like you're saying, even if it's just a smile, even if it's just a compliment, even if it's just something lighthearted that you notice about that other person that can really give them a sense of just joy and having something be, you know, bigger than themselves. I know Dalai Lama, I've heard that said about him when it comes to levels of when you're depressed or just feeling like you don't really make a difference. He said, look to another person and see how you could be serving another and how wonderful and profound that can be when it comes to levels of service and just being able to connect other people.
I think what has happened to a lot of us is we have gotten so into such a fast pace that we don't even stop and really look and pay attention to other people that are around us.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we might be doing something, but our mind quite often is someplace other than where we are.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, Miss Gloria just decided to come say hi. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you? Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, how are you tonight?
I'm enjoying the show.
Okay. Well, you're live if you'd like to sit in and chat on, and if not, we're glad you're here. So there you go. We're talking tonight about just being grateful and having a level of just the simple things in life as symbols for ways that we could be serving one another and valuing ourselves at the same time and having that be something of value for ourselves and others. So I watched a documentary last night, and it was about how to travel the world with no money. And it was this guy from Germany that launched out on the world, and they were showing he went to Machu Picchu and all these different places and just looking to see everywhere he went if he could go ahead and get food and shelter and continue to move himself around the globe. He had made arrangements to be a steward and on a cruise ship, I think when he got himself up to Alaska. But when he took off from his home, he was basically working from place to place. What was interesting is the same kind of thing we're talking about, these small gifts, charity, these small gifts of just the humanness of, just gifting other people when it comes to levels of, you know, what people have and what they don't have and what people did and didn't do. Because what I saw from the whole example was seeing when, like, a merchant or something like that would come from a place of fear because the person was just coming and asking and there wasn't any kind of an exchange going on when it came to levels of that. And then when he would go and actually seek, you know, is there something I can do? And, you know, in exchange for having some kind of a meal or some kind of a food that you could offer me. So it was interesting, the mindset of sometimes he would just ask for what he wanted, and other times he basically was just, you know, willing to do something for the exchange of that. So it's kind of an interesting to see how different cultures treated him and what was going on with that when it comes to levels of charity or just levels of just helping other people out, that kind of thing, when it comes to levels of grace.
For me, what's interesting about that is, at least from the way you first described it, he was kind of living off of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But then towards the end, you said that he did exchange labor or exchange services with people for things. Because, mm-hmm. With that one, there's kind of a... tough line because there's too many people have a tendency to take advantage of as opposed to exchanging the service.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's washing a window or clearing a table or sweeping a floor, whatever it is. And I think too often we also have a tendency to take people that, whether we're in a restaurant or any number of other places, and the people that are there to service, and they literally are there to service, but it's so often what those people are doing for us is taken for granted or really not paid attention to, because if it weren't for them, you know, we'd be cooking our own food, we'd be doing our own things, and they're people. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they all have lives that are not just their work, just like we all have lives that are not just our work. And I think the most important thing is to really pay attention to, maybe in some respects, a lot of things we don't pay attention to. Like, I'll even make it a point to go out and tell the postman or the postperson or whoever's delivering, you know, packages or something, how much I appreciate what they do. And it's the same thing as grocery shopping. And so many people have a tendency to just leave their cart wherever they feel like it. And, you know, I used to push those carts. It was a long time ago. And the guys that did it way back when, the only salary they earned was tips, and they were really good. But the most important thing is one way or the other, the people at the markets who are the ones that are pushing our carts even are people that are doing us a service, because we don't have to take it all the way back into the store. I try to make it a point to always either take it back to the store or to where it belongs in the parking area. And when I go in, I'll grab a cart that isn't up close to the store and just push it along. And if I see somebody out there pushing carts, I'll tell them I really do appreciate what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so often go ahead.
I didn't realize that back before people were just getting minimum wage, that the only way that they got tips, they basically, it was just them getting tips when they would take people's carts out.
Oh yeah, 40 or 50, yeah, but I was working for the government at the time, and actually I think it still happens. At the commissary stores, the people that bag the groceries and help people out to their cars, that's what they work for. There's no minimum wage. It's just tips.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Okay, and so when, you know, some of those experiences, and I didn't realize that they still did that until I ran into somebody not long ago who's in the military or shops at one of the commissaries and said, well, you know, that's the way it still is. Those guys make good money, but they really pay attention to the way they pack your groceries and everything else.
Yeah,
but
I think so.
But I think the most important thing is to appreciate, you know, and we see somebody... And again, this is just me, but when I'm in a store and I'm seeing somebody stocking the shelves, you know what, guys, they're doing that for us. It may be their job, but if they do their job right, it makes it easier for us to shop. And sometimes maybe I take things a little bit too far into areas like that. But when we realize that all of us are working, whether we are aware of it or not, one way or another, we're working together. And in which way are we working? Are we working for or towards something, or against or negating something?
Yeah. So, you know, and kind of go...
Go ahead.
And going back to that whole thing with the woman from the Holocaust and the piece of bread that she carried, and also that piece of a comb, when it comes to levels of just reminding yourself of the simple things of, you know, caring for another and also caring for herself. You know, so that question was, what small thing do I carry that I can give to another more in need than of myself? So
Your own kindness.
Do you ever... Yeah, your kindness, of course. But, I mean, I think a part of that, too, is just the natural gifts you have. You know, just the different things that, you know, that, and just, you know, because I've had people tell me, well, you're always seeing the good in people, Robin. You always see the positive. And for me, that's a mental, you know, I choose that. I make an effort to come from that direction. But yet, you know, it's a good reminder for people about just that level of basic kindness, basic, you know, looking for the good, you know. And I had to learn that from just a level of when my kids were little, I don't remember exactly. I wish I could remember, but somebody had said that, you know, catch your kids being good. And it's amazing what they'll do when they, you know, like, you know, instead of being bad for attention, they'll be good for attention. So,
well,
you know,
it does, but I think,
you know,
and I think taking that a step further is, you know, sometimes we get so drawn into something that's going on externally, whatever it might be. I mean, it could be politics, it could be war, it could be any number of other things. And pulling ourselves back in, and I think that the toughest part, and this is something just recently, obviously, that I've been looking at because of all the things that are going on in politics. And what's going on right now is way past due. And I posted something not long ago on Facebook. This is not about parties. This is about things that have gotten so far out of hand over the decades that it really needs to be taken a look at. And all of the power plays that are going on have been doing more damage than anything else, and a lot of it is out of ego, and a lot of it is also people believe what somebody else said about something else, and I doubt seriously if very many of those people really go in and take a look and do the research to find out what really is so and what isn't so.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much with sound bites and hearsay and all the different other kinds of stuff about not really looking to their own sense of themselves when it comes to stuff like that. It's just, you know, coming off the, you know, like they said, the spin of somebody else's words and what they're trying to invoke in you, as opposed to just really finding it for yourself.
Yeah, and that's a tough one because, and again, we're back to most of us don't have the time. We don't have the time to take to find out what's really going on ourselves, or to dig a little bit deeper, or to look at things a little bit differently, because
mm-hmm.
we're so busy and we're so bombarded mm-hmm. with information all the time, and it's tough. It's tough.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, it's a topic, but yet it's pretty much goes right in line with what we're talking about. There's a lady that I found. This it's called foodbabe.com, and she's a food advocate for having everything listed on, you know, getting away from the GMOs and all the different chemical treated foods and things like that, so people know on a consumer level what they're actually purchasing. And I got introduced to it today through a couple other people that I looked through. And what was interesting was she had an article about Trader Joe's, and Trader Joe's has this policy that they don't have anything on a public level when it comes to all the different things that they do for testing their food and things like that. So something may say that it's organic or it won't have any GMOs and stuff in it, but the way that it's labeled and how it's labeled, a lot of people automatically assume that they walk into a Trader Joe's that everything's healthy and that they don't really need to worry about reading labels and things like that. But just they're a grocery store, and depending on how they sell it and who their different people are that are manufacturing it for them, there's different things that you need to be considering. So there was definitely the good list of things that you should be watching for, and the list that these things are questionable and we don't really know the sources of where they're coming from. So this food babe was basically saying, you know, these are ones you might want to stay away from because you really don't know the source. You don't know that it's something that's actually going to benefit you in the long run because it could be contaminated with different kinds of GMOs and stuff. Huh?
And I hear that, but how much research goes into, or is that because she read it someplace else or heard it someplace else? Because
it was a very long article, and she stated all the different resources that she went to and all the different places that are just out there for public to be able to check on different stuff, but most people don't know that it's there or that, you know, it's time and effort to take a look at all this kinds of stuff and what it does and what it doesn't do.
Yep. Well, and that's true. And you see, part of that goes back to, now here's another interesting little ethical issue that goes in with this whole conversation, is the fact that Trader Joe's is an example, but I can guarantee you that every market out there does similar things. What the real issue has to do is the ethics of the people who are, whether it's growing crops or producing the cattle or whatever it has to do, because people are always, a lot of, and especially when it comes to business, is they're always trying to find ways to get more out of less. And subsequently what happens is, and we're back to, and this is, you know, the hardest part with all of this, and this is, I could get in real trouble, but I don't care, is that, you know, we have been too quiet for too long and have allowed all of these things to accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somewhere
exactly.
along the line during these all these processes, they didn't used to give injections to bee for other things or chickens or anything else to make them grow differently.
Right.
And the same thing applies to fruits and vegetables. And then all of a sudden, all of this stuff is coming up with the chemicals, and I absolutely agree that is very toxic, and there's a lot of things that shouldn't be done, but it's been allowed to go on for so long. And how do we find a balance?
That's the question.
You know,
how do we find a balance? It is
finding a balance. And again, now this is a really interesting issue because, and I'll deal with food specifically, and the real issue is that of how many of us have the time to do the research and the homework to find out about all of these things. When in this is just my perspective, okay, in my opinion, it needs to be whoever is running those markets, whoever is growing those crops, to maintain integrity and not cut corners with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to...
Yeah, but
go ahead.
If you look at... because I know that, you know, getting into the whole farmer issues or growing in the growing aspects of that, Monsanto basically has made it where they've got patented seeds. And so for the farmers, they have to buy new seeds every year instead of having from the crops they've already grown being able to use seeds from the previous year. They always have to go back to Monsanto and basically buy their seeds from Monsanto.
Why?
For certain kinds of crops and stuff. That's because they've created a monopoly on the fact that at least they're guaranteed that they're going to buy their crops because that's the crop of the year that they want them to be able to be growing, so they'll purchase it back from them.
Are you talking about the Verted Acres?
Mm-hmm.
Because diverted acres are when farmers are paid not to grow certain crops. And
well, now they're making it where they have certain. Yeah, they've got genetic seeds that they've created that supposedly make it so that the the corn and things like that aren't going to be affected by the insects as much, when in reality it actually is, because on a molecular level it's been so modified that even it actually, the fleas and whatever, the different insects will eat it, and it actually, they it gets into that digestive system and they basically just explode. And that's what's happening when people eat this kind of thing.
What they're saying is God doesn't know. God never knew what God was doing. And you call it God, call it Earth, call it Mother Earth, call it whatever you want to call it. But that's like saying that the Earth doesn't know what to do. And I have issues with some plants I've had some plants where people say it's not supposed to do this or it's going to do that, and I have amazing results with them. And I don't
I know
do
you
anything
do.
Weird with them. Oh, that's right, you do. But I think the real issue comes back to, the farmers, everybody deserves to earn a decent salary if they want to put the effort and the work into it. The issue that I have, and I don't care what economy it is or what type of business it is, it's the dishonesty and the things that we pay for over and over and over again, and yet we're paying a price for somebody else's mistakes.
Right. Or maybe we're paying
for somebody else's
somebody wanting to go into an economy and an economic level and be a resource for them to be, doing the modifications that they're doing.
Right. And again,
yeah.
So, what's happened is you've got so many people involved, and I guess one of the basic questions is, how important are ethics? How important is quality?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think what I'm finding interesting is that part of what's going on is again, we don't have time. We don't have time to pay attention to a lot of the things, including our own health, including a lot of other things, because we're so busy just trying to, we're treading water to keep up with whatever it is we're trying to keep up with.
Right.
And I'm not making any of that bad. There are solutions. And some of those solutions are going to require a group effort in order for people to say, wait a minute, let's take a real good look at what we're doing. I mean, I know there's mega companies out there that are paying huge amounts of money to the people on top, and yet the people that are doing all the work are barely getting by.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And then some of the, and then when you take a look at some of the, and this is something that, again, has come up with some of my clients recently, is the fact that, and most people don't look at it, but, we can write letters. We can, because from a demographic perspective, for every letter or every communication that we send, say, to the White House, and I've done a few, and to some of the TV stations and so on and so forth, the demographic is they figure, and I don't know what it is now, but it was at least 100,000 for every one letter is what that kind of represented. I know that that's changed and it's a lot higher now. But I think what's interesting is most of us don't even take the time or have the time, or we believe, well, writing a letter or doing a this or doing a that is not going to do any good. And it does good, but it's the patience and the follow-through with all of it.
Well, I think, just like you're saying, we've only got about 40 seconds left here. But, it goes fast. But the food babe, what's interesting with her is she started doing Facebook articles and started doing blogs and things like that, talking about some of these different companies. And we're talking Kraft and, General Foods and all these different places of just the things that they had and fillers and things like that within their food. And they really paid attention to her because she basically started a lot of conversations online for people to start recognizing that I'm not going to put my money into these companies because that's not the kind of food and that their kind of conduct and the way that they're manufacturing their food that I'm going to support. So,
well,
this grassroots stuff is making a difference.
Well, see, and another thing, too, which is another hot issue, is health care. And you know what? You guys, everybody in their own community, in their own state, they have insurance regulators. They have, you've got your House of Representatives. What's going on in health care is shameful right now. These insurance companies are posting net profits of billions of dollars. Why aren't people getting the appropriate health care?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, there's some real things out there that need to be addressed, and we can do this together. And I'm not talking about through anger or striking or doing anything negative or bad. You know, it's just, but we all have to put forth the effort.
Exactly.
Put forth the effort to look at what we're eating. Put forth the effort to what's really going on out there. And don't make it bad, because it can
right.
be fixed. It can
yeah.
be improved.
Right. It can be improved. So
and
maybe we all have a piece of bread that we keep on our body, and knowing that, you know, someone may need that for, you know, for their good, and some kind of something like, whether it be a small comb, or we can be caring for ourselves and our personhood every day, and knowing that we are valued, and as we value ourselves, we can value another.
That makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me, too. So grateful for you guys, and grateful for the show. Thank you for listening in, and we'll see you next time at the cafe.
Night.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.